And we're going to look at something that I believe will stir your minds and give you something to think about and give you some direction on these next coming weeks, months, and years. Psalm 55. And here this psalm paints a picture in a situation where somebody really found themselves in a bad, bad situation. Israel was in conflict, and God was answering the prayer of His people. Actually, it was David who wrote the psalm. And he was talking about his enemies, those who had come against him. And as always, God will always stand up for you, protect you, get your back. He's always there for you. You just have to know what provision He's allocated to you and take advantage of it. You know, the problem all too often with too many Christian people is not that they don't have faith. They have faith. They just don't use it. And so we have to always encourage and remind ourselves to stay in faith. And so watch this. I want you to see Psalm 55. Notice verse 16. This is what David said. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. He that has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, Selah. Therefore, let me back up. It says, because they do not change, therefore, they do not fear God. Now, that's an odd expression. But here, David is saying that God is going to judge these enemies of mine. And he said something that is an enlightening characteristic of people who often get in trouble. And it's simply this. Because they do not change, therefore, they do not fear God. Now, here's something that you have to understand. When you refuse to change, you stop spiritual growth in your life. And many times, when you refuse to change, it's just flat out, you don't fear God. You know, I remember many, many years ago when I first came back to Erie, you know, I started getting all these reports about, you know, different things that were going on in different places. And unfortunately, some of those reports had to do with churches and ministers who were doing terrible things. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know, what is the matter with these people? And I realized one thing right out of the box. They didn't fear God. You know, there are certain things I just won't do because I know of a surety one day I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for what I've done. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, well, you made it. I'll be with you in a minute. Why don't you have a seat over here? We're going to talk about some things. No, 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 no. There are some people who live their lives in such a way that makes you question whether they even fear God or not. And some of them just plain don't. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand. When you're flexible, that means God can work with you. Now, there's a word that we throw around often in the New Testament, and many times we don't understand what it means, and that word is repentance. The word repentance does not mean crying, sobbing, or feeling sorry for your sins. That's the image that we have of repentance. But repentance, the Greek word metanoia, means change. And Ed Cole used to say this. He had a thriving men's ministry. His son has carried the legacy of the men's ministry forward. But Ed Cole had a statement that I'll never forget. He said, change is not change until it's change. See, remember Esau? The Bible says that Esau sold his birthright for a meal, porridge, if you will. I like to think of it like this. For a bowl of oatmeal. He gave up his inheritance. And the Bible says, though he sought it carefully with tears, he cried about it. But the New Testament says he was unwilling to change his mind. And so true repentance is not crying, bawling, squalling, being sorry for your sins. True repentance is change. And so David knew that his enemies who were coming after him were stubborn and stupid and wouldn't change. And because they were unwilling to change, they were in for trouble. Are you with me? So what I'm saying to you is, in this next new year, in this next new decade, live your life in such a way that you're flexible. Now, what do I mean you're flexible? That means you're willing to adapt, you're willing to change some things. Now, let's drill down a little bit. I heard somebody say many, many years ago, blessed are the flexible, for they won't get bent out of shape. You got to be flexible. You know, I mentioned about my grandfather a few minutes ago. When my grandfather was born in 1903, the earliest picture of him that I have is one that was taken in 1920 when he was 17 years old. But you know, a lot has changed since my grandpa was 17. Can you imagine that? 17 years old. I told my wife the other day, one thing my grandfather was quite proud of was that he'd never flown on an airplane. When my grandpa was in his 80s, we would talk. He said, yeah, Davey, he said, never got me up there in one of those things. Grandpa, you know, it's a bus with wings. It's safer than driving many times, but you couldn't convince him of that. You know, because when he was born, things were different. And as he grew and as he aged, he was inflexible about some things. He was unwilling to change. But thank God for the things he was steadfast in, because he was a great positive influence in my life. Now, hey, let's look at something. Turn with me in the Old Testament to Judges chapter 16. And if you're not sure where that is, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. That's where you'll find it. Verse before 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, you'll find the book of Joshua. So let's go to Judges, Joshua, Judges. And I want to show you something here. And this is a lesson we can all learn. How many of you remember the story of Samson? All right. He was a great, mighty warrior. God anointed him to do working of miracles. And people often depict Samson as this big, muscle-bound, strapping dude. I truly believe that Samson did not look like that. There's nothing in the scripture that indicates Samson did these things in his own might. It was the anointing of the Holy Ghost that came on him and gave him supernatural strength, strength beyond his ability. And when you understand his name in Hebrew, Shimshon, the word Shimshon in Hebrew means little son. I truly believe Samson was a little fellow, short in stature and probably skinny. Watch, you'll see him decades later when you get to heaven, you'll meet him if he's there. Samson. But notice this, Judges chapter 16, and I want to show you something. This is the story of when Samson met a woman named Delilah, and he fell in love with her. And Delilah was approached by some kings of the Philistines, and they offered her money to find the secret of his strength. And the amount of money that they offered her was huge. Each king, there were five of them, offered Delilah 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, there's a lot of debate about how much money that would convert to in today's economy, but 10 pieces of silver normally was enough for somebody to live on for a year. And each one of these guys were giving her 1,100 pieces of silver. So she ended up with 5,500 pieces of silver. That's enough for the average person to live on for 550 years. It was a huge amount of money. And so she kept pestering him about the secret of his strength. Now follow with me, Judges 16:16. And it came to pass when she pestered him with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I'll become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. Now, Samson had lied to Delilah three times before and told her things that really had nothing to do with his strength. And so she would, you know, oh, if I'm tied up like this, then my strength will leave. So she tied him up and said, the Philistines are coming. And he got up and broke the bands, you know. And so she said, you lied to me. You lied to me. And this happened three times. So finally, he got tired of her wearing him out, pestering him. So he told her the source of his strength. So let's go back to verse 18. Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. For the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I'll go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Here is a situation that we all are aware of, and it's very tragic. But here's the thing I want you to see. Samson had an opportunity to change, and he didn't take advantage of it. Because you know God was warning him. And God had already told him there are certain things you shouldn't do. And not only was it not to cut his hair or shave his locks off, but about the way he conducted and lived his life. And so he violated God's principles and God's law. And so warning came once and again, but Samson didn't listen. And his unwillingness to change cost him everything. There's one thing you got to remember. There's always a tireless competitor looking to cut your hair. And they will not cease. You've got to be more vigilant than they are. Are you with me? Yeah, Satan's out there. He's looking to give you a clip. And it's always bad when they succeed. So, we've got to understand that change is necessary if we're going to have a vibrant Christian life. Turn with me now. You're in Judges. Turn to the right to 2 Samuel chapter 21. When we talk about change, there's some things that we need to understand. Many times in life, I shared about my grandfather. This is what happens. The older we get, the less we're willing to change. And that is because, for the most part, we've gotten comfortable. And many times people get comfortable with some pretty crazy things. Many times people struggle with addictions and different habits. And I mean, these things will flat out kill you. But the reason people cling to it is because it's normal. And it's sad when dysfunction becomes normal for you. You need to shake yourself and wake up and realize that these things aren't necessarily for your benefit. Now, here's what happens many times. As people get older, they get comfortable. They get, as we say, set in their ways. In other words, you fall into a routine in life where you're doing the same thing the same way every day, and it becomes comfortable for you. And so it's much harder to get you out of that comfortable zone into an area, perhaps, where you should be. Are you with me? And in 2 Samuel chapter 21, there is a story of Israel fighting a battle. And if you want to know the truth, it's really infighting. The host of Israel, 11 tribes, have come against one tribe, Benjamin, because men in this tribe committed a horrible thing. They sexually assaulted a woman until she died. And so the host of Israel came and they said, "We want the men who committed this crime." And so here you have a description in this passage, 2 Samuel chapter 21, of how these men set themselves up to fight this battle and all of the things that took place. But there's one thing that I want you to see, and I'm not going to read it, but you can read it when you have a chance. It describes 700 men who were in the tribe of Benjamin, and it says this about them, who could sling stones and not miss. Now, that's a strange statement. 700 men, and they were all southpaws, left-handed, who could sling stones and not miss. Now, here's one thing I want you to see. The reason these men were adept at slinging stones was because that's what David did years before when he killed Goliath. He did it with a sling and a stone. I am personally of the opinion that David could have killed Goliath with spit. When you read the account of what he said to that guy, he said, "This day I'm going to take your head from your shoulders, and I'm going to kill you and the host of the Philistines, that all the world may know that there's a God in Israel." And it just so happens he had some stones and a sling. Now listen, just because David did it doesn't mean you're supposed to do it. Did you hear me? Just because David did it doesn't mean you're supposed to do it. Now, even though the tribe of Benjamin had 700 men who could throw a stone with a sling and not miss, they were crushed in battle. Here's my point. Many times, people cling to tradition and miss revelation. You hold on to what happened yesterday and don't listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do today. Don't do it just because somebody else did it and had success. That does not mean it'll work for you. Now, there are certain eternal principles that we should all practice. Are you with me? Because they're tried, they're true, they work. But just because somebody did something a certain way doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to do it that way. And that's a trap that many churches fall into. They cling to tradition and don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And that tradition will negate what the Lord wants to do. And that unwillingness to change can cause you problems. Are you all following me so far? All right. Now, turn with me to... Well, you know what? I read the wrong scripture for you. Turn with me to Judges chapter 20. We're in 2 Samuel. Let me go back to Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20 talks about the 700 men who could... verse 16. Among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. That's what refers to the 700 men. And so just because David did it, it became the rage. It became the fad. You know, if you wanted to be somebody in Israel, be a guy who could sling a stone like David. Amen? Where the important lesson was, if you want to be somebody in Israel, be somebody who had faith like David. It wasn't the sling and the stone, it was his faith that brought deliverance. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 21, it talks about the Philistines and some giants that still existed. Here's something, I've been asked this question over the years. People said, well, didn't Goliath have some brothers? Yeah, he did. He had some nephews too. And they had the same genetics that his family had. They were big guys. They were huge. Now, the thing I want you to see in 2 Samuel chapter 21, let's start with verse 16. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Then Ishbibi Ben-Ob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Now, David is an older man now. He's not the young teenager who took out Goliath with a sling and a stone. He's the king, he's an older man, and when Goliath's nephew came after him, one of David's men killed him, took him out. And they said to David, "You're not going out to battle. You stay home. We'll take care of this." Now, why am I sharing this portion with you? You need to learn to depend on other people. Many times people in life become so inflexible, so rigid, and they have the attitude that I used to have. Look, if it's going to get done right, you may as well do it yourself. Y'all ever said that? Listen, there's some things you can't do. You need to depend on other people to get things done. Don't be so rigid that you think you're the only person who knows how to do things the right way. If you want to expand your influence, train other people to do what you do. And then let them run with it. Are you with me? Now, watch this. Verse 18. Now, it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shebechai, the Hushathite, boy, these names are something else, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. And again there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elehanan, the son of Jeroregrim, I'm butchering these names, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number. And he was also born to the giant. This is another one of Goliath's sons. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giant at Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, here's what I want you to see. David didn't kill any of these guys. But notice he still got the credit. He still got the credit, even though he didn't kill anybody. But you have to learn in life to depend on other people. You have to learn in life to be flexible. Build networks. Depend on others. Now, I realize you can't trust everybody. Are you with me? There's some people you just can't trust. I shared this many, many years ago. You know, we have a commandment to love, but we don't have a commandment to trust. I have to love you. I don't have to trust you. You with me? I can love you and not trust you. And so, be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to build relationships and impart knowledge and information to other people so that you don't have to do everything. Are you with me? Learn to delegate. It'll help you. You got to be flexible. So we see here that, you know, some of these sons of Goliath were still mad that David killed their father, so they came at him. And David didn't have to lift a finger. Somebody else did the job. But he still got the credit. You with me? So you have to be willing to let go of some things and begin to trust other people. Now, David's a classic example of adaptation and change. Now, think about the progression in his life, how David saw himself. He saw himself as Jesse's son. He saw himself as a shepherd. He saw himself as a giant killer. He saw himself, after he killed Goliath, as a servant to Saul. He served Saul in the king's house. Saul turned on him. And so now David sees himself as a fugitive. Okay? And he lost everything. But he didn't lose God. And you might find yourself in a situation where you think you've lost it all. No, you didn't. You didn't lose God. You and God is all you need. You with me? So he sees himself as a fugitive. Then he sees himself as a leader of armies. And after he was placed on the throne, he saw himself as the king. And so David had many different roles, many different hats, but the one thing that was consistent, he was willing to adapt, he was willing to change. Are you with me? Now, turn with me to the last scripture that we're going to look at, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And this is a classic portion of scripture that I think all of us know. We've talked about this portion of scripture many times. John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he said this in verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, there are two elements here that I want you to focus on. Truth and things. Truth and things. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Here's something that you have to understand. The truth of God never changes. The principles, the guidelines that he has laid out in his word are eternal. They will never change. Now, we live in a culture and we live in a time where things are changing rapidly. But some things are eternal. They never change. You with me? We have a commandment to love. That'll never change. We have a commandment to be like him. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. That'll never change. But things change. Truth never changes, but things do. And so we have to be willing to adapt when things change, without abdicating the truth that never changes. You with me? There's a great contest, if you will, in many church organizations because they're changing their view on different things in the culture. And our culture has accepted many different lifestyles, and many denominations are changing to adapt to the culture. And it's causing a problem. And churches are splitting over this. And I was talking to one of my pastor friends who's a delegate in his major denomination. And they said, thank God, their denomination voted to stay on a scriptural platform with regard to the culture. And he said, had they decided to follow the culture, his church would have left the denomination. Because truth never changes. You with me? But things do. Now, I want to show you one other thing. Hon, if you could come up here with me, I want to show you this. Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The word guide is the Greek word hodageo, and it literally means a tour guide taking you by the hand and leading you. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He will take you by the hand and lead you through life. He'll lead you through life. And when the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you, guess what? There'll be very few surprises. Because you have a very experienced guide. In fact, this guide is so good. He was here in the beginning. In fact, this guide is so knowledgeable, he was instrumental in creation. He's the one who hovered above the waters. And when God spoke, he brought it to pass. This guide knows his stuff. You with me? And so if you learn to follow him, not much will surprise you in life. I'm not saying you won't have difficulties. I'm not saying you won't run into speed bumps. I'm not saying you won't be challenged and have to use your faith. You'll have to live by faith every day. But learn to trust the Holy Spirit and be willing to change when he tells you to change. Know that the truth is eternal, but things are going to change on you. Don't find yourself so rigid that you're like the people described in Psalm 55. They won't change, and so judgment's coming upon them. In other words, they're unwilling to repent. I don't know about you, but if I need to make an adjustment, I want to do it quickly. I don't want to wait 3 years, 2 months, and 63 days. Doesn't make sense. God reveals an area to you where you need to make an adjustment, take care of it immediately. Amen? And you'll live a blessed life, and you'll have a prosperous year, and you'll have a prosperous decade. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you learn anything? Thank you, dear. Oh, God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Would you stand with me, please?